T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I should come in right before the Milwaukee, because then we can have a real conversation.
We'll get you back in
about
the Milwaukee
what
series.
Really no matters. Question. What matters to win and lose. It's hard to even say.
You think it's disrespectful if we just spend the next half hour talking about the Milwaukee series? Because I don't. I think we can do that.
Can we? We really should be having these conversations in about a week.
Milwaukee.
Or 10 days.
So in other words, this is a fluff series. This means
this is yeah, like it this is like the get ready for the play. This is the flip the switch.
You know what? You know what he picked. Scott was right about that. He was. We're running out of time, so we had to get him today because it's game 5.
Yeah, or it's a postseason recap is what it'll be.
So, Mr. Scalabrini, how are you enjoying this series so far? Where are you? Outdoors? What are you, at the beach?
I am. Are you hearing the wind?
Yeah, it sounds like inside. You're at the beach. Yeah. Please go inside.
No, I'm just walking on my lawn. I'm wondering why it's not as green as it's supposed to be, but I might have some serious time to work on my lawn day in and day out now.
Yeah, you're going to have a great-looking lawn in about 4 weeks. Yep.
So, Scal.
It's interesting how this series has unfolded, right? The game one, I think, you know, we're going to get down on the Celtics. I get it. They have this talented roster. But we really, I mean, look at the Bucks did after game one. They looked disheveled. Giannis looked frustrated. And the adjustments that those guys made in this series have been pretty spectacular. And for us to not be able to get over the hump, it is kind of like a synopsis of what this season has been.
So, Scal, that's a question, right? Were there major adjustments made, or is it what a lot of the players said? They weren't ready for game one. They had an easy series, and they just weren't ready for the intensity. So was it just they were now ready after game one, or did they make real adjustments?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is I think Budenholzer sat down with Giannis or his staff or whoever is responsible for telling Giannis, this is what they're doing and this is how you're going to beat it. And Giannis and if you watch him, he's killed the Celtics in so many ways, in transition, offensive rebound, giving the ball up early, getting it back, driving the ball. Game one, it was, I'm going to put my head down, I'm going to Euro step, I'm going to go to the basket, I'm going to force the issue. Game two, three, and four were, you know what, I trust these guys. And if I guarantee you the conversation is something along the lines of, hey, Giannis, you got to trust your teammates. If you can give the ball up early, they'll play better, and I think you will play better. And I'm sure, knowing the type of guy Giannis is, I thought he was great before, I have a whole nother appreciation for how good he is and the type of player he is. He probably was just like, okay, coach, whatever you want me to do, I'll go out there and do it. And his ability to get rid of the ball so early, his Milwaukee's spreading the floor, and this combination of sometimes he sets screen and roll, sometimes he's in the screen and roll, it has really got the Celtics on their heels.
So is it, for the issues with the Celtics, is it just maybe were they overrated, or is it more of a deeper dysfunction that exists that's causing them to play so poorly, especially in the third quarter, you know, bleeding into the fourth?
When you say overrated, you mean like we thought these guys were a lot better
than what they
are?
Yeah, the players. Yeah, because we keep talking about how.
Sure. So I think this roster is a good roster. They have talented players, and I think a lot of people would agree. I mean, not just us here in Boston or the Green Teamers or whatever you want to call it. You know, like the people who follow the Celtics. I think league wide, people are really interested in the players that we have. But if you watch. You know, I don't love, I've said it all year long, I don't love our shot profile. I never loved it all year. I don't like pull-up jumpers. We have a lot of pull-up jumper type of players. I like guys that, like, when I watch the Brooklyn Nets play, I know they're not as good. They don't have as good of players. They makeshift this roster together. They got a bunch of guys that put their head down, drive to the basket, and when two come, they move the ball. They play this style of, we're going to aggressively attack, and then when you react, we're going to just find the open guy. We're going to launch up threes, and if you close out, we're going to drive it again. What we sort of have is we have a lot of pull-up jump shooters. And when Gordon Hayward is at his best, he's turning the corner. He's getting downhill. He's drawing two. he's either making a play at the rim or he's finding a guy. And that's what makes Gordon Hayward, you know, a former All-Star, with his ability to get downhill. Kyrie, you know, he's one of the best finishers at the game, but he does set tend to settle for that pull-up jumper. You know who's been playing, I think, the best basketball of the Celtics is Jaylen Brown.
Right.
He's been so quick with his decisions. So he gets the ball, he shoots it. If not, he drives it. And when he drives, he's going to go to the basket. He's going to dunk on somebody. And if he can't dunk on somebody, then he goes and tries to lay it up. And if he can't do that, then he just moves the ball. It's as simple as that. And I would have loved to see this roster. Now, that's a hard way to play. That's a multiple effort way to play where you have to make sacrifices for each other and give like an incredible amount of sacrifice for your own game. Like, I'm not going to shoot step back pull-up jumpers like a Jason Tatum does, you know, low in the shot clock. Now, those shots are important. In isolation situation, you've got to be able to do that. Low in the clock, you've got to be able to do that. But ultimately, I think the best way to play with the way the rules are and the officials, the way they call the hand checks, it is put your head down, get to the rim. If two come, move the ball. And we don't really play that way. So I ask you, are we that talented if we're not playing a style that's conducive to winning in the NBA?
No, it's a good point. And the other point you made about Milwaukee, I think people underestimated how good Milwaukee was and how much better a player Giannis is. And just think, if he continues to hit that three-pointer, how good he's going to be going forward. But defensively, they have really shut down Kyrie. So you tell me what you do, because they're putting two, maybe three guys on him. Notice Scally's actually picking up fouls. He's going to the free throw line because there's no space in the lane. So they're actually making contact with him because there are so many bodies. But how do you turn that into putting points up on the board?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I've always thought why I was never afraid of the Bucks is because I bet on this. Like, I bet Brad Stevens on against a team that rotates. So the Bucks they rotate a lot. You hear a lot of times people say, we want to switch. And the reason you want to switch is to limit rotation. You don't want to be flying all over the place, because eventually good teams that share the ball, good teams that drive and kick and make, you know, from a good shot to a great shot, teams that do that will pick you apart. That's how it works. But the Bucks, I think I underrated how good they were at rotating, because game one, you saw we were getting any shot we wanted. It looked like we were playing against an inferior team. Since then, these guys are flying all over the place. Somehow they're there, two guys on Kyrie, and when that first pass goes out, there's one guy there, but the next pass is made to a corner three-point shooter. Somehow the Bucks are recovering to that. So I want to give them a ton of credit on the defensive end for being able to do that, because I truly, truly thought if Brad is ever going to go against a rotational defense, he would beat that defense. He will find the weakness of that. He knows exactly how to beat the team, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Bucks are constantly two on the ball that when they drive, and they're rotating out, and they're getting back to shooters, which is pretty impressive. And, you know, I wish I could sit here and tell you, hey, man, you know, the Celtics, they should be playing better. Or, you know, I think the Bucks are beating the Celtics. It is when you have Giannis and Middleton on the bench in the third quarter, And the Bucks with Connington and Sterling Brown and George Hill go 21-13 on the Celtics in an elimination game in the Garden. At that point, you just check the box and say, they are better than us.
Yeah.
So, Scal, as you know, superstar, you get the credit, you get the blame. Kyrie talked about flipping the switch. He said everything will be okay because I'm here. How would you evaluate him in this series?
You know, there's a lot of talk right now going around about, you know, Batman and Robin. You know, I don't, it always comes back to Batman and Robin. I don't know why in the NBA. You know, what's like kind of glaring is the physically dominant players of the NBA dominate the playoffs. It is the Giannis's of the world, the Kawhi Leonard's of the world, the Kevin Durant's, a 7-footer who can yak a crossover and pull up. But, you know, I mean, those guys are LeBron James when he was in the playoffs, the physically gifted, the ones that don't have to have a good shooting night, don't have to have the best of moves to dominate a game. It's the Steph Currys who have good games here and there that have been struggling. Now, I think we probably have all put Kyrie on a pedestal because he won the championship with LeBron. He hit the biggest shot. I'm not into that Batman and Robin thing. I think you can have a lot of good players, but I've been on this for a while. I've always thought that the most physically dominant guys in the NBA somehow, some way dominate the playoffs. Their athleticism overwhelms you. Not their skill, not their thrill, not their tough shot making. It's their athleticism. It's back when I played, it was Shaquille O'Neal. You know, he's very skilled for his position, but he beats you with his athleticism, his body, his strength, those type of things. Kobe Bryant, he would beat you with shooting, but as you notice, when Kobe was in finals, he didn't necessarily play well. He needed the Pau Gasols, the extra long guys, the Lamar Odoms of the world to get to a certain point. Now, Kobe is still more physically gifted than a Kyrie or a Steph Curry, but it does seem like the Celtics miss that athletic freak where he is like moving the needle, the Giannis of the world, where you could feel Giannis out there. You could feel his presence every possession, defensively and offensively. So I don't know if he's going to end up getting the blame. I don't know what's going to happen. I think a lot of it has to do with what Kevin Durant is doing. But you can kind of see in this playoffs that, you know, Giannis is another level of a player, and Kyrie's just right below him.
So are you in the camp of giving Gordon Hayward a pass, being that he's dealing with the injury and all, and like, he's still hurt, he's not back yet?
No.
Or is it time to, actually step up and, produce?
Well, I don't know what's going on with the team. I think they look disconnected. I don't know if they're disconnected. They might just not like being there. I have no idea because I'm not there every day. I'm not in the locker room. To really know, I've been a part of teams. To really know, you got to be on those bus rides. You got to be in the shoot around, how a guy reacts to what a coach says. I'm not there for all that stuff. So I don't really know. But it's not an excuse for Gordon Hayward. Like, he is an all-star. He is he could, on any given night, be the best player on the floor. He's not Giannis as far as a physical freak. But Gordon Hayward, I know he's white. It's hard for people to imagine that. He's an athletic, physical freak of nature. He can go off both feet. He can finish through contact. I don't give him a pass.
Yeah, where's that guy at? Is that his brother?
Well, I mean,
the guy you're talking about, I don't know who you're talking about. I mean, maybe back in his Utah days, but
maybe you didn't watch. No, you watched a few games toward the end of the year when he has dominated at times. Yeah, I do believe this. Remember, basketball players just don't wake up out of the womb and they're good. They put in work. And I know since he got hurt, we saw pictures of him or images on Instagram of him jogging. Him pulling and shooting. I played horse with him sitting in a chair. Like, that's not really – now, he's a great shooter, great catch-and-shoot guy, and he can pull up off the dribble, but that's not really why Gordon Hayward is good. And I think it kind of aligns with Paul George the very first year he came back from his injury. A lot of pull-up jumpers, some that you're like, I don't know, man. Why do you keep taking these shots? Are you doing it just because that's like, is that your way of coming back, or you really believe that this shot is the shot that you take – that helps the team win? Because I've seen him also just be relentless at attacking the rim, and it's like kind of scary for other teams. So I don't know if one day he wakes up, his ankle hurts, the next day it doesn't, if he needs a rhythm, if he likes to, he needs, more touches throughout the ball, needs to move more. I don't know why. I just know that he's not what he could have been as this year went on. He had moments where he broke out because of the foot, and he had times when he went to the basket and elevated. And there's been moments where you're like, dude, just take the ball to the cup. I wouldn't say that for everybody, but he's one of those guys where your physical presence has to be felt on the floor.
All right, you talk about them being disconnected, and I think that's a valid point. And we none of us know whether they're having issues with each other. I'm sure that will come out in the offseason as guys start to talk a little bit. But the one thing that's scary about this team with so much talent is they are mentally weak. I've never seen a team that should be this good have so many teams go on runs against them. And I'm not talking just about Milwaukee. I'm talking about all year long. I'm talking about Indiana that, as you pointed out, has trouble scoring. They were going on runs against this team. And usually good teams, as you know, are mentally tough to the point where they resist that. Once it starts happening, they find a way of getting their act together. Why aren't
fire
these
alarm,
guys mentally
fire
tough?
Alarm.
And are you going to burn to a crisp?
Danny Ainge, man, Danny Ainge, hit the alarm. I'm not allowed to answer that question now. Jeez, man, what are you doing? Danny Ainge got bugs all over my house. I will agree with you on the I don't understand. I asked Brad this question, and obviously I didn't get an answer, and I wanted to ask this in a public way because I don't want him to give me any inside information. But I said, do you like the shots you get when a team is going 13-0 on you? Like, is there a difference between taking that shot in the first quarter, taking that shot in the fourth quarter, when you're feeling good and when you're on a 10-2 run, that shot is different. I always believed that every shot, like, you had to have a feel for the game, and every shot was a little bit different. And if a team is going on a run, then you have to get a good shot. And that usually means, like, taking the ball to the basket. Here's a good example. We were in Philly, and there was kind of a dust-up. I think Marcus Smart was involved in it. Of course he was. And Philly just got the ball, and they took the ball to the basket time and time again, and we settled for jump shot, jump shot, jump shot. And then, you know, obviously Philly went on a run because they got to the free throw line, they made layups. And so I do think the game has, like, a different type of feel depending on time and score and what's going on. And I do not like this team when a team is going on a run against them. I don't like how they don't knuckle down on the defensive end. I don't like how they're flat-footed. I think they lose a step as opposed to gain a step. All the good teams I've ever been on, when a run is occurring, you sit down and you grind more. You make it tough. You force the officials to make a call. And I don't feel the same level of fight on the defensive end. And listen, I don't want to be a prisoner to my era versus this era, right?
Oh, like, here we go.
My era, it was...
Get off my lawn. Yeah, my day.
It was very physical. Now it might not be that way. And maybe it's hard for me to comprehend guys not sitting down on the defensive end and getting a stop in and riding the ship on the defensive end, or driving the ball to the basket, getting the ball to the paint multiple times on a possession. That's what I know, but maybe it's different now. You watch the NBA playoffs, guys jack up threes all the time. You're like, is that even a good shot? But the coaches, they don't get on the guys. So maybe that's just the way it is now. But I will agree with you. I do not love this team when a team is going on a run. I feel like they're looking for somebody else to save them. They're looking to the left, or, hey, is Kyrie going to do it? Is Al Horford going to do it? Is Gordon Hayward going to do it? And then, you know, Jason Tatum takes a bad shot. So I don't get why they're like that. But that is the reason, the downfall of this team, not just in the Milwaukee series, all year long. When teams go on runs, they don't respond well.
Yeah, and with that said, Scal, tonight, listen, I'm afraid this thing could get ugly, because if they do face that run adversity, they might just say, you know what, this season, it's over with. Do they have a chance tonight in this game? Do they win?
Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing, right? I've been, like, through this year, I've been the worst analyst, right? I think, man, these guys are terrible. Then they turn it around. I think these guys are on their way. Then they, like, lay an egg. So I have no idea. I told you guys, I thought that Brad would eventually figure this team out, and by game seven, they would get a win. They look like they figured it out in game one, and then two, three, and four, they're like, they're lost again. Like, I never would have expected. I thought every game it would have got better and better. And then, you know, you got to steal one in Milwaukee. I thought they would steal game seven, because game seven, the Celtics would rise up. But so I have, to be honest with you, I think they lose. But I have no idea. And every time I say that, they seem to surprise me one way or another. Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown are three guys that I guarantee you they will not quit. They will not quit. Al Horford, he's not going to quit. I don't know about the other guys. I have no idea.
Radio.com Sports Insider Brian Scalabrine, who just told us he's not a good analyst, is brought to you by the all-new 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. You can catch Scal's...
But Lou, wait. But yeah. Lou, I can admit it. Like, you're still hanging on to Average Al.
No. That's Average Al. Everyone else is more talking about it. I haven't gotten on Average Al.
Okay.
In a while.
Hey, Scal, there's the answer.
Al will be there.
There's the answer tonight, you know, that pick and pop with Horford. He's still wide
Al.
Open up top, right?
Yeah, he's aggressive, Al.
They'll triple team Irving going into the paint. He's going to be wide open. That little pick and pop, it's perfect.
I will say this. I'm not sure I see a triple team. I know I hear a lot of talk about triple teams.
It's a third guy cheating. There's a third guy cheating over there. That's about it. You're right. Third guy cheating.
Fine.
Sometimes behind him, by the way. You can catch Scal's podcast, Big Time Basketball, on radio.com. All right, Big Time. Thanks for joining us.
Scal.
We appreciate it,
thanks, man.
See you later. See Brian Scalabrine. And he's also going to be on NBC Sports Boston, I'm sure, tonight.
Mm.
Pre-game, post-game, stuff all like right. that. All right, we get back to the phone calls coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Yeah.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Were you here to listen to Rob Bradford predict that J.D. Martinez would homer in this game? He put the money down, said it's going to happen. He drives it deep to left center. Rob Bradford, you might be a genius. It's back to the wall. It's gone! It's a two-run shot for J.D. Martinez right over the 410 marker in left center field.
I'm a genius.
Things you...
Hold on. When you predict that the guy who's hit the most home runs on the team...
I predict Chris Sale's going to strike someone out tonight.
There you go. Okay, throw Jackie Bradley Jr. out there. Give me a little Steve Pierce. I'll call you a genius, Bradvo.
He was in a home run slump. He hadn't hit a home run like 62 at-bats. You know, that
so
is
he was
a,
duped.
That is, yes, thank you.
Somebody's
hey,
a theory.
Like, you know
I
what?
Do. Smothered is, with the broad brush.
I'll tell you what, you want to be a genius, predict that guy Mike Fiers through another no-hitter.
Is that unbelievable?
Second one of his career.
Did you see it? Somebody
same
already has changed
saw,
it.
All of, and
up.
All the 500 people that were there to see it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Somebody's already changed his Wikipedia. Worst pitcher in Major League history to have two no-hitters.
Yes. Not because of WEA.com headline.
Whatever.
It's funny. I'm ragging on Oakland, and you know, you watched that game last night, and there was nobody at that Baltimore game either.
No.
Like, nobody.
Nobody goes to any of these games.
Nobody. I mean, it is really night game, great city, great town, great ballpark. It's
school
empty.
Night. School night.
So what do you mean school night? So what is
that,
a school
that's a
night?
It's a problem for Major League Baseball now. It doesn't make a difference because Major League Baseball just does it with these regional TV networks. It's a TV show now. It's not necessarily a ballpark thing. Maybe in the summertime it becomes an event. You know, we bring all the kids. We, you know, throw them into the SUV. We
then
drive down to
Chris
Fenway.
Davis hit 179.
Exactly.
But even like the guy from Oakland who threw the no hitter. You know, you think that's about it. these iconic pictures. You know, you you score a touchdown on the Super Bowl. It's captured, and look at all the fans in the background. This guy, they capture his picture. It's only the hot dog
there.
Guy there.
It's Oakland.
Only the hot dog guy there.
Baltimore,
and maybe a couple guys sleeping.
Baltimore's pathetic. They don't have any like prospects. Even they go with a bunch of young kids. None of them are any good. Like as far as prospects go, they don't have any. Just play young kids, marginal players. And good players.
And Chris Davis batting cleanup.
No real prospects.
Oh, cleanup. Yeah,
you know, like Joey Rickard?
No.
Who?
Mancini's the only hitter they got.
Do you know that that was the toughest ticket to get maybe in Major League Baseball?
Which like, one would that
say
be?
The 10
Orioles?
Years ago? Yeah, 10 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
A while
12
ago,
years ago?
A while
yeah.
ago. A while
it
ago.
Went, you know, but it was
they were good.
A difficult ticket. They would pack that thing every single night. When they were good, and even when they were so-so. And then finally people said, enough.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I just saw the, you know, the... that the Golden State Warriors, right? So their new arena is going to be opened up. It's like Chase Arena or something like that. And I love it when these teams, when they've had a lot of success and they've had a long run, they'll probably have a good, you know, 5 years more pending what happens with all these other stars. So they build this new arena. They get all excited. The fans get excited. Eventually, that team's going to suck again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
going to
suck all over again. And it's going to be this brand new. You mentioned this to me yesterday that the Clippers... Or the Clippers want to build their own arena.
Yes.
They want to get out of the Staples Center. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to be related or associated with the Lakers at all. They want to build their own arena, a place that only they can play at, where they're not the little redheaded stepchild of the city. I personally think I think there is this weird stigma attached to the Clippers, and the fact that they have to play in that arena, even though it's a home game for them, they're still renting.
Theirs.
They're still leasing.
Yeah.
And nobody even thinks of it as their arena. They think of it as the Lakers because they got the banners hanging. It's not the Clippers. So them moving and building a new arena, yeah, I think it's a good thing for them.
Well,
so
when the Lakers move back to the Forum, they can have the Staples Center all to themselves.
Forum's still there, right? Still there. They do concerts, I think, they're still there.
Wow, the Forum is still there.
It's
I
still there.
I thought they imploded that.
No, I don't think they did. I think it's still there.
I think they play the high school championships there,
I think you're
actually.
Right, though. You got to get out of that building. Yeah. You're on the road.
It's like the Jets and the Giants.
It's not yours.
It's not the Jets' home field. Yeah, it's the Giants. They're renting to the Giants.
The Clippers will always be the Clippers, so they've got all of this money in the offseason, and they'll probably attract one or two big free agents. But does anybody really believe that the Clippers have a strong enough fan base they're going to build something?
No, we talked about it yesterday. So when the Lakers were doing the whole Showtime thing, and even after Showtime, forget about that. Kobe and Shaq, and even after Shaq left, I mean, you go to a Clippers game and you see, I don't know, reality stars.
Yes.
You know, and compared to a Laker game where you have every famous person imaginable.
Yes, all the A-listers are at the Lakers game.
They get out of that arena. Yep,
and Diane Cannon, is she still alive? She said they prop her up.
When it comes, just imagine if you're doing sports radio in L.A.,
yeah.
What do you think the top three teams are in L.A.?
Lakers, Dodgers, and what's the soccer team?
The Red Bulls or the Magic. The Storm.
That's it.
The Earthquakes.
Right. No, you just named the two.
Maybe it's them.
Lakers and Dodgers.
Oh, got some bad news for the Patriots.
What happened?
Remember Bruce Ellington? They brought him in as a wide receiver for the Patriots?
A nice option for them. They need depth. They need wide receivers. Yep. They need a lot of these guys. Hopefully they all work out.
They just released him.
Oh, what a surprise. Wait, what was there? Was there like a $20,000 bonus attached to him? I don't even know if there was anything attached to him. So throw him in the mix.
Yeah, so they bring all these guys in. This is typical Bill. He's going to bring in a zillion wide receivers. People are going to get excited. Some of them are going to come in on one leg because they, you know, the other one, they blow out their knee or whatever. And then they're just going to put them through the summer and see whether that works out.
You know,
but Ellington didn't even make it.
Tyler, look this up for me.
Getty Britt, Jordan Matthews, right?
Bruce Ellington had a $25,000 bonus, signing bonus, right? Which just basically means, okay, whatever.
Whatever,
just
come, at home.
Just
he
come
took
through.
A check, thank
yeah,
you.
Come work out.
You didn't have to do anything.
Out of all those wide receivers.
Sat at home.
Out of all the wide receivers that were signed in free agency, who had the biggest signing bonus?
Mon, see if you can find it for me.
We'll find it for you.
Because it's... That'd be the only guy that thinking, sticks. I don't even know if that matters. I don't even think that matters. I mean, Clay Harbor had a big signing bonus, and they got rid of him also.
Money? What do you care?
It's just, it almost doesn't even matter. It does not. They don't care. The receiving corps is still... There's nothing's changed with them. Has it?
No.
And then free agents, you can sign free agents now? This is a good time to start signing a bunch of guys?
Well, you can sign it because there's no compensatory picks now.
Oh, yeah.
We're past the deadline, May 7th deadline.
So there's this rumor
that if you pick somebody up now, you don't have to give any... Yeah, it's not part of the pool.
So you would think that, okay, ooh, this is what they're waiting for. Ooh, let's go sign a bunch of guys.
Is Dominican Sue still out there? Is he still out there?
They signed some tackle.
Yeah, they did. The guy that played Oakland and Denver.
Yeah, played like 12 games, was a starter for a big chunk of the season.
He's been hurt, though, right?
I wonder he'll just be a rotational guy, backup guy, and
but
possible.
But Ndamukong Suh's still out there, I think.
I believe he is. I didn't see him at the Met.
How about that? They cut all the wide receivers.
Bill brings in Bruce Ellington for like 2 days and sends him home.
Well, they needed a spot, right, for this tackle that they signed, I think. I don't even know what it was, but I think it was more of a spot.
The 90-man roster.
Yeah.
I fit him in the 90-man
Poor guy. Like, honestly, just shows up, stays at the residence inn for like 3 weeks, and they ships him out. He spent more. He spent that $25,000, which is really like $10,500 for him. It's probably like he spent it all on gas money and drinks over at the Davio's.
How much work did he put in for the New England Patriots to get that?
He just sat
at home.
So how long has the offseason program been going on? Maybe, what, three weeks? 3.5 weeks? Something like that? Yeah, 2 hours a day? Maybe?
It's about the experience.
Oh, that's what it is.
So he just went to like a camp to like work out and practice.
Yeah, he didn't even meet Brady yet. Brady's not even there yet. So he can't even go work for some network and say, well, you know, back when I played for the Patriots, Brady, you know, he was different than the rest, and you knew right away.
Never met Brady. He was at the Met.
He was at the Met. He was in L.A. He's up and all over the place. Was this guy working?
So Brady shows up at camp, and he's like, where's Ellington?
Oh, he didn't hear? Okay. That's probably a good thing for Brady, though, when you think about it. So, why? He doesn't want to waste his time building relationships with all these wide receivers. Listen, call me when you're set with the right number of guys. I'm going to work with those guys. I don't want to work with Bruce Ellington or some of these other Yahoos or won't
Kenny
be here.
Britt. What am I going to work with Jordan Matthews for? I'm not going to be thrown to them.
Being here, I don't want to take time to mentor them and tutor them
it's
on
like
how
the
to run
start weeding them out.
Fade route?
Yeah, weed them out. Yeah, weed them out. Just give me what's left. We finally found somebody who likes the Celtics. Matter of fact, guarantees that the Celtics are going to win tonight's game.
Gilroy?
Nope. Gilroy probably has. I take it back. There are two people that have guaranteed the Celtics are going to win tonight.
I have confidence in that.
Make it light on yourself.
Okay, listen, the banker said Kobe.
Hey, listen, no, the banker said Kobe will be starting to get broke if he starts betting on this.
Listen, what Boston going to win tomorrow, I guarantee it.
I guarantee it.
Serious?
Hey,
yes.
Shaq.
I am.
What is it about all these ex-Celtics? So Shaq was a Celtic player. Paul Pierce picked them
like
to win the thing.
For 20 minutes he was an ex-Celtic.
But he was a Celtic. But Paul Pierce picked them after the first game. Right? First game.
Has he walked that back yet?
No.
He's not giving up.
He's got Celtics in six.
He's going to die on the line, right?
Celtics.
He's not giving up.
He's sticking with it.
He's
sticking with it. He's sticking with it.
He thinks it's over.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, 1-2-3, not 1-2, back to 1.
Who's snorting? And then that's Charles. And then last night, Shaq goes out there and he guarantees the Celtics are going to win. And, you know, Charles is looking at him. Kenny Smith, what are you talking about?
When Boston going to win tomorrow, I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
Which series are you watching? All right, we get back to your phone calls on the Celtics Do or Die tonight at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Who cares? I'll tell you what, not him. He is not a Celtic. He's an NBA mercenary.
We know who Kyrie is. He's Carmelo Anthony 2.0.
Kyrie Irving has shown his true colors. He doesn't want to be here, and he's not good enough.
He's interested in getting a nice job someplace else. He was done here, Glenn.
I never liked Irving. He has to go. I just don't like the way he plays.
He thought that he was going to be able to do what LeBron did without having to go through the, you know, the hardship.
I know a guy, a little guy, smaller than Kyrie, who tragically lost his sister and came back a couple nights later and dropped 50 in a playoff game and got his team to the Eastern Conference Final.
I don't see why keeping him is any better than not keeping him and getting nothing in return.
He's an excellent number two guy. He's not a number one guy.
He's not a winner. The Celtics have a great opportunity now to cut ties with somebody who's a loser and build around people that are going to work.
Okay, thanks for calling. I get it. People are emotional,
man,
they're pissed, and they want to get rid of the girlfriend. Okay, I can't take her anymore. I can't deal with her. You know, bad habits. Oh, my God. But here's the problem. When you do that, the alternative is so much worse. So Chris Mannix, who knows this stuff inside and out, I give him an awful lot of credit. He's a basketball guy.
He's one of us.
So he's doing his crossover podcast, and during it, he's talking about where the Celtics go for this. And he brought up an interesting point that you may, even though you're pissed at Kyrie right now, you may want to sit back and relax a little bit because there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in the next few weeks. The unknowns that might give you a different feeling.
Now, do I think Kyrie's leaving? I have no idea because there are a lot of variables that we still don't know about yet. What happens on draft lottery night? Do the Knicks get the number one pick? Does something else happen that shakes up the landscape? What happens with Anthony Davis? That's the big question mark. We talk about this on the show all the time. Where's Anthony Davis going to go? The one way the Celtics are going to try to convince Kyrie Irving to stay, I'm sure, is to tell him that if you stay, we're going to go all out to get Anthony Davis.
So there are variables. So we're going to find out when we get the draft lottery, because he's right, that would give you a bigger asset. But let me ask people, do you think it's going to be enjoyable for the next 4 or 5 years if, let's say, Kyrie does leave? He goes to the Knicks along with Anthony Davis. Are you going to feel good about that as you're watching your little team that, you know, the cute little team that could?
No, they're going to want Danny Ainge fired.
Exactly.
That's what they're going to want.
I honestly, the last three games has really shook a lot of people. Really shook them to the point where they're coming up these crazy, just, you know, theories and options. The most likely scenario is true. He's staying here. Danny Ainge is going to convince him. Ownership is going to convince him that we're going to do right by you. We're going to bring the necessary pieces in. And if there's a personnel issue, if there's a coach issue, which I don't think there is, but I think it's more personnel issue, we're going to fix it.
I think that's going to piss off people even more, because you're going to hear those stories over the next 2 months. There's a long time here after, if they lose tonight's game, a long time for the emotions to calm down, and then reality sets in and people start talking. And you're going to start hearing the stories, because Wick Grosbeck and Danny Ainge know better. They're going to be sitting there talking to Kyrie saying, how can we make this better? And they're not going to like this.
To your point.
Right? They're not going to like that.
If Kyrie was to walk, all right, like right now the crowd, everyone we're hearing from, wants him out of here. Right, given what's happened the last 3 days. The crowd that wants him here, they're not very vocal. When Danny lets him walk, that crowd's going to want Danny's head.
Yeah. You let our best guy go.
That crowd's going to want Danny's head. Now, the people that are happy, they're going to be quiet. Because maybe reality will settle in that they're not going to be good again for a very, very long time. But the people that realize that it's the only way this team is going to win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years is if Kyrie Irving stays and you get Anthony Davis, period, end of story. That's the only solution. That's Danny's it. Aware of that. Yeah. Ownership is aware of that. That is the only shot you have of winning a championship. And if he walks and you get nothing,
I'm going to be angry.
Then those people will come out of the woodwork. Because right now they're sort of hiding. We're just hearing from everybody that just wants this guy out of town.
This is Matt. Matt's in Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Matt.
Well, I couldn't agree with you any more than what you said about the Celtics in this playoff run. They are gutless. Absolutely gutless.
Yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head about this team. They are the exact opposite of the Boston Bruins right now. When they face any bit of adversity at any point, whether if it's self-inflicted or out of their control, they melt quicker than the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wizard of Oz. They are not even worth my attention, damn it. Not even worth it. And you know what? I hope the Bucks win by 40 tonight. How's that for an answer?
You know what, Mutt? Just go to La Cantina and have a good meal tonight in Framingham. You know what? You deserve it.
I like the emotion, though.
I hope they lose by 40.
Here's Troy in Worcester. What's up, Troy? Hello, Troy.
Troy, you're up, buddy.
Troy,
you're
come
on
with
on,
us
Troy.
Right
Let's
now.
Go.
Okay,
goodbye, put him on hold and say goodbye.
Go to our buddy John.
Oh, no, no, no. Hold on. Can I just kind of hold on? Let me put my feet up.
Yeah, me too. Big O, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Big O.
No, Big O.
Hi, John.
I've known you more than 20 years. Isn't that true?
Yes, you have.
Wait, you guys really know each other?
No, it's a caller. A caller. Caller and a host. I don't spend time
with you. Son?
No, Big O, I figured you out.
Oh, good, because I have.
The problem is, Big O. You like that Uncle Drew movie, don't you?
I did. Yeah, it was great.
I was actually.
You
was
like
great.
That movie, don't you?
Terrific. Get to it. Get to it, John.
Well, Big O.
John. No, not- John. Seriously, if you want to call Glenn, honestly, like we love you. We appreciate the support.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you love.
If
John.
You want to just talk to Glenn. Can you just call? I'll give you a cell phone number.
No, it's 617.
No, what?
Don't get jealous, Mr. Fourier. Don't get jealous. Come
all right, John.
On now.
Come on,
let
John.
Me speak what I wanted to say.
All right, John, you, got,
you
got 40 seconds. Make your point. Go.
Where did you say go?
Go.
Go. Okay. I say you said Kyrie's a top 10 player.
Yes.
He is not a top 10 player, Big O.
He will be.
Playoffs.
He's going to be an all NBA player.
He's not a top 10 player in these playoffs, Big O. Is that true?
He's going to be an all NBA player. He's a top 10 player in the league. Go.
But not in the playoffs, Big O.
Not so far in this series, right.
He's not even a top 20 player.
Okay.
We did not give up a lot to get him, sir. Yeah. We did not.
Yeah, you did. But go ahead.
Keep saying, oh, we're going to lose this. We didn't give up a lot to get him, Big O.
No, you didn't. You didn't, I don't think.
We didn't.
Okay.
I'd like to get Zizic back.
Colin Sexton, right?
But we didn't lose a lot if he walks. We didn't give a lot to get him.
Okay, so what's your point? What's your point today? What's your point?
I'm giving you the point. You keep saying he's a top 10 player. He is not.
He's a top 10 player in the league because he's going to be in the All-NBA team, second team.
All right, that's 40 seconds. John, thanks, buddy.
You two need counseling.
Seriously,
I mean,
honestly,
for two
marriage
friends,
counseling.
You guys can't even talk to one another.
I can't.
You don't even listen to him.
Well, the worst part about it is John wanted
You're
to talk
rude
about the
to your friend.
John wanted to talk about the issues that he has with the Celtics. This is the guy who's been telling us all year long. He's one of the switch guys, you know. All year long, every time we sit and bitch about the Celtics, he sits there and says, stop it. The Celtics are great. They're going to flip the switch. Now, suddenly, they're down to maybe their last game, and he's calling us up, and he's finally discovered they have problems. I'm figuring that the Gilroy will find out by next week, but John just found out that the Celtics have problems, right? He's been calling all year long. Bitching,
just hit him.
Bitching that I am sitting here saying the Celtics have problems.
Yeah, but this guy was aware of it, though.
They are not even worth my attention.
That boy.
I'm like afraid to be that guy's dog here tonight. Kevin's in Natick. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. So I think that I want us to keep Kyrie. And so by keeping him, you're essentially what Lou said yesterday. You're in win now mode. There is no more building for 4 or 5 years with the NBA. So I think when I look at Tatum, I think of D'Angelo Russell when he was in L.A.
and he really wasn't performing. He went to another place, another city, and now he's an all-star. I think in order to win now, we have to get rid of the younger players, acquire veterans, and just completely go in win now mode and forget the building process.
Yes.
No question.
I mean, you're too deep now. I mean, there's no the alternative is to be nothing.
Exactly.
That's what people, but people, it seems like they would rather want that. You know, they really enjoy, I get it, man. I really enjoyed the last couple years watching that Celtics team. So I understand. We sat here many times and said, man, this team is so much fun to watch. I get it. But that was because we just didn't expect them to do anything. You know, we didn't care if they did anything. If, however far they went, we enjoyed the ride.
It's fun.
But ultimately, that's not Danny Ainge's job, is to create cute, fun teams for you. He's trying to build a championship.
And the wild card in this, I think, is Gordon Hayward coming back strong. It's almost a critical big piece of the puzzle. He has to come back stronger next year, or else it's 2 years of an excuse.
And I loved what Scal said, too, because, you know, once again, he's a basketball guy like us.
Yeah.
Not giving Gordon Hayward just the excuse. It's not. He's like, you know, we've seen it. End of the year, you know, he's aggressive, takes to the basket, and he's not going to give him that excuse.
Yeah, so where is that guy that he talked about, that he described, the strong guy, you know, the guy that's everybody else is afraid of when he decides to take it to the hoop?
I don't get it.
Where is that guy
at? But everything he talked about with the skill set that Hayward has is correct. The problem is, you can see it. He's disjointed out there. He's got no idea where he's going. You can almost see the way he's hesitant about everything. But I don't think it is physical, and I don't even think he's concerned about the leg, because you've seen him take falls out there, go for 50-50 balls. I think he's just disjointed in this offense. He doesn't know how to operate.
All right, so he referenced Jaylen Brown. Not second guessing anything. He's getting the ball. No matter what he's doing.
He's been good.
He's doing it right away. He's not second guessing anything, right? Whether he's taking to the hoop, stop, jump shot, dishing it, whatever it is.
There's no thought process.
But here's the thing. So what do you tell Gordon Hayward? Do you have to have a one-on-one with him? And I'm not even joking. You bring him into your office.
You don't think they already
you
have?
You say, okay, now, I know I taught you about this before.
Right.
But you maybe thought we were kidding.
Right.
We're going to start you tonight. Listen, who cares now, right? Who cares if we win or lose? All the pressure's off. Nobody thinks we're going to win anyways. Everybody's talking about what we're doing in the offseason. So just go.
So would you do that? If you're Brad
I would start
Stevens,
his ass, yes.
You change the lineup tonight.
Yes.
Sit there and say,
why
screw
the hell? What do you have
to
lose?
Nothing to lose.
Right. So they don't think you're going to win anyways. Nobody believes they're going to win.
Well, you're going to piss off somebody. Marcus
the basketball
Morris,
guys of the, see, of the world know.
But will he take Marcus Morris out of the lineup? Because I agree with Scal. I think Morris will play his ass off tonight.
How about playoff Mook?
Well, Morris is the only one who's actually out there, you know, preaching and, you know, inspiring the teammates with his words of encouragement.
You know what the reaction we're getting with all of this and what Danny Ainge has to deal with this summer? Maybe the worst thing that happened to this franchise was what they did last year with the little engine that could.
Yes.
Might have been the worst thing that happened, because what it did is it deceived fans. Fans actually, when they talk about that team last year, they constantly say we were one game away from the NBA Finals. And technically that's correct. But go look at how they played in that postseason last year. The only games they could win were home games. They were getting blown out in those road games. They weren't in some of those games, right?
Y'all.
Right. And you know, if they got to the finals, you know what was going to happen. And once they had to hit some adversity, which is LeBron James in Game 7, even though you're playing it on your home court.
I wouldn't go that far. Happened. I wouldn't say once they faced adversity, because that's one of the things you loved about them. They just got outmanned. You know what I mean? Because
They went on the road. That Philadelphia series could have easily gone the other way.
That is a real young crew to sit there and say a game 7 in the first round against the best player.
I'm not blaming him, Lou.
You know, I'm just saying Giannis at the time, first round.
Yes.
So you got to give that's why you loved that team. They had no right. You know, and next thing you know, Rozier steps up, Brown, Tatum, everybody else, everyone's stepping up. The glue was, of course, there. So there were some big moments for them.
Yeah, but you look at that series last year, the complete playoff run. And right now, I think people constantly are looking back to that. If I hear one more person say, they're a better team without Kyrie Irving, and what are they using as evidence? They're using last year's playoffs.
Right, let me ask
using regular season numbers, right?
Like
they're throwing those
against,
out a lot.
Against crap.
Yeah,
I make-believe, right? So let's just say you have like NBA 2020. And if you could put the last year's Celtics team versus this year's Celtics team in a 7-game series, who do you think wins? Ooh.
NBA 19-2K, I got to tell you, if we this year's team wins.
You think?
Yes.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, I wouldn't pick.
That team didn't.
That's the biggest difference.
This team
they got
quits.
Hot.
That team
had hot last year.
All right, what about against Isaiah Thomas the year before? You want to put that team in?
Isaiah wins the MVP. He's the greatest player of all time. But I think last year's team beats him because this team has just got nothing.
I tell you what, we'll get those calls in the next few days because Isaiah has no team after this year, right? He's got a one-year deal with Denver. He's not playing. And, you know, Denver's playing well, but he's not playing at all.
It's not that funny.
We'll get those calls. Why don't they bring Isaiah back? And you know Isaiah will be campaigning for it. To come back here, right?
Never burnt any bridges.
Right. No, he did.
But they did give him a tribute video where I guess kind of once you...
A little teared up.
Right? Once you get that, I don't know if you can come back.
Love Boston.
I think that is the definitive, okay, we are done with you.
Yeah.
We gave you a video.
So would you
pick... So you can't come back
pick
now?
Pick up hoop all summer.
Yeah.
So you might pick him up
local
as a... Would you pick him up as a 10th, 11th, 12th player?
With Kyrie on the team?
Yes.
No. Bad news. That'd be like bringing like a really good quarterback that won a Super Bowl with a young one starting.
I don't know about that. You'd have a better shot if Kyrie was on the team than Rozier. Because he looks at Rozier still as his understudy and thinks he's better and expects to start.
I mean, my time's coming. They know they got to bring the bench truck out. They know that.
With Kyrie, at least he can look at him and be like, it's Kyrie Irving.
I just wonder
if it's
how
Rozier,
that, how,
he's like, I'm better than him.
We're already worried about the dynamics are already screwed up as it was this year.
Make it worse.
Why would you? Maybe a bizarro world. Like, keep adding to the fire. Maybe it'll change.
All right, boys, this hour's been brought to you by Roach Brothers Supermarkets.
Has.
This week, you'll find great deals on your favorite groceries with their huge 50% off sale. Wow. Sale details, locations, online ordering and delivery at roachbrothers.com. We got another hour to go. We go 30 minutes commercial free. And I promise you, in this very next segment, we are giving away a pair of tickets to game one of the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals between the Bruins and the Hurricanes. That game is tomorrow night at the TD Garden. I've got a pair of tickets right here in my hand, and we're giving it away in the next segment, so don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.